All right, for Father Jim here, you have all read his extensive bio. It's been sent out to you a couple of times. It's on the website. But Word and Life has had a very personal relationship with Father Jim. When Father Jim was a student at Pacifica Graduate Institute here, Dr. John Dawn George, one of our Word and Lifers, was his professor as he worked toward his PhD in mythology. And then more recently, Josie Carrillo, who's a newbie to Word and Life, tells us she was a student at Father Jim's Loyola Marymount as she received her degree in pastoral theology. So we have quite a relationship with Father Jim. He's been participating in our Word and Life since 2009. That's twice a year he's been coming up. First, he drove in from St. John's in Camarillo when we were on the Mesa at Holy Cross. And then he drove from San Gabriel to us at First Presbyterian. But no more driving. Since the pandemic, he's been Zooming with us. So today, we welcome Father Jim as he steps forward in our final week to gather us all to put forth a spiritual practice that we can put to use in our own lives and to better the world around us. Okay, Father Jim, take it away.
All right, thank you, Judith. Good morning. I'm delighted to be with you. I'm in the midst of giving a priest retreat this week, and so they're all praying for us as well. But I found it fascinating that those of us who follow the Christian tradition so often forget to talk about the primary commandment that Jesus said his whole mission was about, and that is love. So I was really touched that you chose this book to read as a way of getting back to the basics. I'd like to begin with a poem from very well-known Pulitzer Prize-winning American poet named Mary Oliver. It's entitled Wild Geese. Just going to share the end of it. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting. Over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. For us to know our place in the family of things, we need to go back to the beginning. You and I, as the sacred scriptures remind us, have been created in the image of God. What does that mean exactly? Being in the image of God means that we are God manifest. We are the very name of God. Perhaps you're aware that one of the names or titles that our Jewish sisters and brothers give to God is Yahweh. It's made up of four Hebrew letters. When you look at these letters in a long framed way, you'll notice that roughly speaking, it is drawing an outline of the human body. What this means theologically is you and I are the very name of God on this planet. To be the very name of God means that we experience not only the power of God's presence, but also the responsibility of God's presence in this world. We also are invited to live out the likeness of God in this cosmos. What that means is we have the potential to act in a divine manner. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but hopefully on God's part, God has enough faith in you, enough hope in you that you would say yes to this work of living into your potentiality, of living into your divine identity. Juliana of Norwich had a wonderful quote where she said, "Now the seed of a pear tree grows into a pear tree. The seed of a hazelnut tree grows into a hazelnut tree. The seed of God grows into God. The very fact that you've given yourself each of these weeks in reading, studying, reflecting, and doing the various exercises recommended by the presenters says that you hunger for this work, that you desire to grow in the fullness of the likeness of God. Here's the hard thing I think we've all learned, and that is that we cannot fake loving kindness. We cannot fake it at all. Is that our loving kindness is a natural response to being one with all beings, with knowing, as Mary Oliver says, our place, our particular unique place in the family of things, that we are not alone. When we live with a sense of aloneness or separateness, it offers us a very narrow vision of ourselves, of other people, of reality. That's not God's vision. The divine vision is one of great spaciousness, largeness, and the Creator invites us into the same vision. So this morning, we're invited to be able to participate more deeply in this vision by how we would sacralize our life. Traditionally, we call this creating your own rule of life. This certainly has been carried on through the monastic traditions throughout the world. To recognize that this doesn't just happen is that we are invited to be full participants. We often hope and believe that God will partner with us in our life. But God also wants, hopes that you will partner in the Creator's life. So to foster your own inner life, your spiritual life, you and I need an effective method, especially suited to us. This is why so often we're encouraged to read the lives of holy women and men, lives of saints, heroes, and heroines, to raise our imagination up in a way that we can see and experience another way of looking at reality, looking at ourselves. We all know that we're in a time of transition, both individually, communally, and yes, even globally. It's like we're standing on shifting sands, almost like an earthquake continually happening. And so to create a rule of life is to recognize and to commit yourself to sustaining, supporting, and strengthening your interior. To recognize this is what it means to be a person of the Spirit, a friend of the divine. So we are in a very different religious imagination that is different from the past. We certainly can dip into the tradition in the ways that we have experienced the divine through different prayer forms and spiritual exercises. But at the same time, we need to also dip into inspiration. The type of inspiration that forms and affects artists, musicians, poets, potters, great dreamers. So what is your concept of the divine that will shape your faith in the future? Remember that what it means to be human is to give creative energy expression. That being in the image of God means that we do what God does, and that is continue to create, to continue to create anew. Because God's own divine presence is embedded within you so that you don't forget. This is the part of the responsibility. God will do God's part, but you and I have to do our part. And here comes the challenge. Nobody can do it for you. Your friend can't. Your spouse can't. Your spiritual director can't do it for you. Even God can't do it for you. Because God is waiting, hoping, and believing that you will be able to find a way of doing this. So what means do you use to open you up to reality? I believe Bishop Curry has done a marvelous job in simplifying it for us. So I'm just going to add on to it and to offer you a particular way of doing it for yourself. So one of the things that empowered Jesus Christ, and I assume most of you are Christians or have a Christian background, was his vision. So we know from the book of Proverbs that a person dies without a lack, with no vision for their life. So a vision is the energy inside of us that draws us forth the fullness of who we are. So the vision that Jesus had was the vision of love. He called it, in a metaphorical way, the kingdom or the reign of God. This reign of God is where the truth of God and this world intersect. So wherever you experience truth, beauty, or goodness, or authentic community, or love, you are experiencing the kingdom, the reign of God, in a very real way. So what do you base your life on? Once you've been able to name your vision, if you, and usually you can say it in one sentence, sometimes one phrase. I mean it's tongue-in-cheek, but often you can see the vision by reading tombstones or listening to eulogies where certain phrases come out. People try and summarize the mystery of a person's life. But what means help you to express your vision? In other words, what do you base your life on? I'm going to lean into the Christian vision. The Christian vision is holistic in the sense that it involves the body, soul, and the spirit. Think of it as a three-legged stool. So if that's the case, then you might want to lean back into, if that is your particular background or present experience. If not, I just encourage you to go back into and look at the very traditional way that your religious background has helped you in the past. The key word that I would encourage you to look at is holistic. So I would like to give you a bit of my background. I was in the construction trade before I entered the seminary. So I like to use this image that if the vision is seen as the environment, your values are your foundations, that you build your habits on the foundations of your values. Those habits are the building of your life, the house of your life. And the actions that flow from your habits are the fruits, the experience of how you live in that building or that house. This is important be able to go back over once in a while. In many religious traditions, this is done at least once a year, like say in a retreat or particular season that means a lot to you, could be the new year or one of the equinoxes. It's totally up to you. But in reflecting and how best to be able to make this presentation to you this morning, I thought it might be helpful to you how I've responded to Bishop Curry's invitation. I've been doing this for many years, and I'm not asking to be like Jim Clark. I'm just saying this is how I've done it. And I find that Duns Scotus wisdom is very helpful here. And it's this, is that the gateway or the doorway to the universal truths is through the personal. And so it will be for you. How do you take all these beautiful universal understandings, creator, apply it to your life in the here and now, in the day in and day out? Or another way to say it is, how do you answer the question, what are you creating? What are you creating? So like I said, this is how I do it. And I totally agree with Bishop Curry that it needs to be simple, not to overdo it. What can you commit to? Can you honestly live this out? If you can't, then go back to the drawing board and start over. So I've summarized my particular habits after lining up my value system with the Christian faith in four words. And I put it in a mnemonic device. P-E-P-S. P P-E-P-S. The first one is prayer. Prayer. The way that I pray each day is by reading the scripture of the day and sitting in silence in a form of prayer called centering prayer. That serves to remind me that I'm to live my life from the inside out. And through that experience, I practice and learn listening. I listen at a deep level, an interior level, so that in my relationships, I can bring that listening ability to my work with people. Secondly, exercise or care of the body, doing my best to eat healthily, to every day honor my body by particular movement, exercise, a way of acknowledging my own embodied or creaturely nature. Third is play. I readily admit to you that this sounds funny, but this is the hardest one for me because I'm so driven by my desire to work and to create new things. But my form of play is in regards to being with friends and family. It's also about being in nature. It's about doing things that lead me to deep belly laughter, to also recognize the play of creation. And I engage this with landscaping practices, hiking, professional massage. I love receiving that. The last one is study. For me, this one is both study and service. Service to the bigger picture, to individual people, to groups of people. Study, the continuing reading, research, writing, going to workshops, conferences. So out of these four, then flow my particular habits. And I must admit, over the years, they've evolved according to the context of my own life. So that's how I've practiced what Bishop Curry is alluding to. It might be too complicated for you. That's fine. But go back to the basics. I'm going to help you in the question I'm going to give you when you break out into your breakout room so you can begin to move forward in your own planning. So keep in mind that as we read the Christian scriptures, that the story of the finding in the temple is the first instance of talking back to tradition. And we need to remember that. That tradition is helpful, but it must be enlivened by a vision, by an engagement, by a dialogue. Otherwise, it's dead. This wonderful, you're bringing a newness to it, and tradition brings the long view so that you create the spaciousness. There's a high priority in the world today of the need for dialogue. So how do you dialogue with your own interior life, with your life in general, or with people in your life as a way of helping to move towards a greater helpful relationship with all creation? In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, we have a wonderful phrase there. For in him we live and move and have our being. Sometimes, though, we can slip into something that's very dangerous, and that is called compartmentalization, where at some level, we put our family life over here, our religious life here, our work life here, our relationship with our neighbors over here, our political beliefs over here. It's very dangerous. Any religious master will tell you that either it's all a part of the same picture, the same belief system, or it doesn't belong. So think of the garden scene where the outer kiss of loyalty to Jesus is at odds with the inner betrayal in the heart of Judas. That's what we're talking about. We have seen now for many months this playing out in political venues and religious venues as well. People at some level are saying their prayers, but not making the connection, not making the sense that it all belongs. It's all meant to be ideally relational. So this is why we need to fully participate in our life, to recognize that whatever is happening within us and around us is a part of a single venue that the Creator is inviting you to work with. That If the Creator is not afraid of reality, we shouldn't be either. Is that we are not alone. We are told this time and time again that God is with us and within us and for us. So as you begin to move towards creating your own particular rule of life, I would invite you to think about four very important principles. The first one is ethical acts. Ethical acts. What moves you to reach out beyond yourself? What moves you to reach out beyond yourself? We are not called to be hermits. We are called to recognize that what we receive as a gift, we pass on as a gift. We don't keep it to ourselves. The Creator is forever gifting us with new ideas, new experiences, new opportunities to expand us, the greater spaciousness, and we are to be instruments of that for others. Another way to enter this same area of ethical acts is to ask yourself, what are you most passionate about? That seed of passion has been placed in you for a reason. The Creator is inviting you to work with that. How can that passion be translated into a specific action? Specific action. So this is an important question for us, because that seed of passion can reach out and touch people in helpful ways. When my brother John and his wife Patty moved into a new neighborhood, John happened to notice that there was a lot of litter in the neighborhood. He and Patty have a lovely German Shepherd dog. So without any fanfare, he just began in his morning walks to begin to pick up the litter. And at first he was bringing back 2, 3, 4, 5 large trash bags, trash. And he hadn't said anything to anybody, but after a while, it was about 3 or 4 weeks in, several key people in the neighborhood happened to notice what John was doing. Said, you know, it's probably pretty dangerous for you doing what you're doing. Let's give you an instrument to be able to pick up the litter, and also a bright orange jacket so people will recognize that you're, quote, official. And on it went, is that they were trying to acknowledge this ethical act of being a part of cleaning up the neighborhood that nobody else has seen as a value. John said it's interesting that after about 4 months, he noticed that neighbors were starting to pick up their own litter. Ethical acts were meant to do that, to influence other people. The second category I'd like to invite you to think about as you prepare your rule of life is communitas, embracing all the cosmos. So this is one area where Pope Francis has been very outspoken, and many of our young people as well, to recognize, as some theologians are now saying, the cosmos is the very body of God. How do we honor the body of God? I know for us Catholics that many people show great devotion about receiving the Eucharist, bowing and scraping and genuflecting in front of the tabernacle, but being so abusive in regards to any other aspect of creation, other human beings as well. So to be open to the influence from within us, of course, but also outside of us. How do we relate to other human beings? How do we relate to the stranger? One who comes from another country, the one who doesn't speak English very well, the one who has a different political view. In each of these things, we are told that we are to accept the stranger, the foreigner, the different. We are to avoid giving ourselves into fear of that which is different or that who is different from us, because these are God's messengers to expand us, to help us to see something is larger than us. One of the things we often forget to look at is Jesus' own rule of life. One of his rules is that he was given a mission to the people of Israel. Well, it was Abba who changed that for him. When you read the gospel passage, you'll notice there are 4 times where Jesus is confronted by non-Jews. And each time, he is surprised to see their faith in him. And he says, in one way or another, I have not found this much faith in all of Israel. In other words, Abba has sent him these individuals as a way of saying, no, you got it wrong. Your mission is to all humanity, however they come to you. So to be truly someone who is imbued with the divine seed of the Creator, it means that we are hopefully to awaken our eyes to we are part of a large divine family. Some people we know, some people we don't. God desires us to be immersed in how we can unpack this mystery. The third one may surprise you, but as you create your rule of life, remember that often from the traditions that have been given to us, we have begun traditions that came to us from other countries. They may not apply today to the context of your life or our life. And this is why it's so important for us to recognize that maybe we're called to a different way of looking at things. So here are three things that I would encourage you to at least think about in the postmodern times we live in. First is, does your rule of life involve or embrace deep pleasure? Deep pleasure. In the African Catechism, there's a lovely question there. Why did God make you? The answer I truly love. God made you because God thought you might enjoy it. So is deep pleasure involved in your rule of life? As you notice, as part of my rule of life is play. I call it play. But where are you experiencing the pleasure? If not, it's not involved in your rule of life. What will happen is you'll see it as like a reward. Or you might have what they call guilty pleasure. Secondly is it possible to think about part of your rule of life involving becoming conscious? The Buddhism faith is called becoming mindful. Some Christian writers call this becoming present to what is. But is there a practice in your rule that allows you to pay attention to this moment, this encounter, this opportunity, without judging it as being bad or good, but accepting it and facing it for what it is? And third, becoming a person. Becoming a person. Teilhard de Chardin was famous for saying, we are spiritual beings by our birth. God calls us to be human beings. This is the work given to us, is to grow into our personhood, to recognize this is a lifelong task. And the last thing that I offer you to reflect on is the very spirituality of Jesus. His is what we call today an incarnational spirituality. It is grounded in his humanity, in his way of seeing reality. So as you read thematically the Gospels, notice his spirituality included friendship, eating together with anyone and everyone. It's why in the Gospel of Luke, he's called a drunk and a glutton, caring for other people, whether he knew them or not, enjoying life as it came to him, having a loving, grateful attitude to all of life, even the dark and dreary and painful aspects of life. That was the way he lived out his faith, his relationship with Abba. Now, isn't it interesting that over the centuries, the church in general has done the opposite, has encouraged us in our rule of life to emphasize self-denial, controlling our appetites, judgment, exclusivity, who's in, who's out, fear of submission to external, fear and submission to external authority. Wow, doesn't that sound like the opposite of what Jesus lived and preached? Yeah. One word that summarizes that entire thing is control. Control. Today, at this time in human history, perhaps God's inviting us to speak back to that tradition. Inspired by your own experience of divine, inspired by your reflection on your lived reality, you might find that, no, that hasn't helped me. I've tried that. It doesn't work. Okay, if it doesn't work, stop doing it. Find another rule, habits and actions, that can help contain for you your own authentic nature, that truly brings delight to your life, that helps you to grow in the fullness of your humanity, that helps you become more and more aware of your responsibility of what it means to be human at this time in human history, as well as cosmic history. So I just encourage you, please be aware of rigidity and calcification. These are anathema to any spiritual life. Is that, as Hildegard of Bingen said, we have to practice being green and wet and juicy and open to new life. That's what we want to do. So this is why Bill Wilson speaks about seeking emotional sobriety, to really be liberated of anything that keeps us from living the fullness of our life, to honor our feelings, but not letting them control us, to recognize that we are called, as Joseph Campbell said, to live our life blissfully. What that means is to live our life from the center, the authentic core of who we are. When you and I are being in tune with our authentic nature, our true self, it's then that we can be in right relationship, big picture. Otherwise, we find ourselves narrowly trying to fulfill some outdated, incorrect, and practices that no longer apply to us. We lose our focus. Dear friends, I want to thank you for your witness over the years and the ways that you have honestly sought to deal with the real issues of life, faith, spirituality. Don't let this time frighten you or drive you away from your sense of hope, faith, and love. I would hope that you and I can learn from the fish in the ocean that when a storm hits, especially a terrible storm, they don't stay amongst the waves. They go deeper. And in the depth, they recenter, if you will, they reconnect. They return back to their feeding when the storm passes. We are to do the same. Is that we so often want to stick our head up and get caught up in all the storminess of what's happening around us, rather than going more deep where your rule of life will sustain you, support you, and encourage you, especially in the darkest and most difficult time. I leave you with this final metaphor. I've had the privilege of being able to travel to Australia, and the people there have a whole different perspective on life. Some of the Aboriginal elders have been asked, how do we deal with these dark and difficult times? And their wisdom, I think, gives us great courage. They say, remain observe, and this too shall pass. In the outback, there is a tree called the ironbark tree. It's a unique tree, and you might guess from its name that it has a very strong external structure. If you've read anything about or seen these ironbark trees, they're amazing creatures. When a fire comes, and often they do pretty regularly, is that the ironbark tree is willing to give up itself, not completely. And so what it does in times of a fire is it allows its branches to be burned, but it pulls down the sap all the way down into its roots. If you were to drive through the land, you would notice these what look like burned stumps. Come back in about a year to 18 months and you'd be surprised to see what's going on. It's from the roots are coming new shoots of the same tree, not a new tree, the same tree, reclaiming life in spite of the suffering, sorrow, and the destructions experienced. This is what your rule of life will do for you. That as you are faithful to your rule of life, if it comes from the authentic part of your being, it will sustain you even in the darkest of times. So the foundation and the building will hold you. The habits and the actions that flow from your work is what will change. They would be minor changes according to need. So I leave you the final quote from Richard Rohr. He says, we rarely change our lives by a new way of thinking. Rather, we change our lives by a new way of acting. So in your breakout rooms, I'm going to invite you to share actually two questions. First one is, what are three values that you hold near and dear to your heart? Three values that they're really important to you. And perhaps you've already been working with these values for many years, and that's fine. That's fine. I'd like you to share in your group what those three values are. You don't need to offer a commentary, because after that, the second question is, what is one thing, one habit, one action that you can commit to as a way of living out those values? This would be something new, okay? Something new. So the first one is, what are three values that you hold near and dear to your hearts? Share them, if possible, without commentary. And then even more importantly is, share one action, one habit, one way of living them out. This would be something new. The reason I want you to share this with the group is these individuals are your witnesses. Let's face it, we can make all sorts of promises to God and kind of walk away. But when you're telling it to these people that you know, you're saying, okay, here's what I feel God's asked me to do, or here's how I'm going to respond to this. It's your way of growing into the likeness of God. It's your way of saying, I'm committing to this. I'm going to do this. Okay. All right. Many blessings to you in your sharing.